This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Here's a word about Hooters right now.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsborough.
As always, I thank Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, as I also thank Brandon Legal Group for their presenting sponsorship of the weekly Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin. In that Bucks Bulletin, we are specific to the fantasy matchup between the Bucks and their opponent that particular week. For this podcast, I will go ahead and go one by one with every other matchup, since we've already taken care of Bucks Steelers. Looking ahead to Monday in the Bucks Bulletin podcast, already posted, we will do all of the Sunday games upcoming for week three. One thing on a quick observation that I made, many of you now listen to my regular segments on the Vegas Stats and Information Network with the wonderful, you know, we all have character flaws. Gil's only one is he's a Redskins fan. Much like he would say, my only character flaw, and it's not, is being a Cowboys fan. And with that said, we get along very well and have a lot of mutual respect for one another. I enjoy Gil's show. I've enjoyed Gil's podcast over the years, and we have a good time on the air together. Every Thursday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, I appear on Gil Alexander's show on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. Tune in on VEASAN. So that said, when we were talking fantasy on Thursday morning, the overall observation I made after 2 weeks, and it kind of held true again even in the Browns game against the Jets, where Carlos Hyde nearly gets 100 yards and two touchdowns, was you losing in fantasy or you winning in fantasy these first 2 weeks might be less about who is not performing at all for you or not performing for your opponent, and more about having explosive players. There are a number of players, and you better have one or two or more, that are putting up huge fantasy numbers through the first 2 weeks and one game. Carlos Hyde's game, another example of that. That is basically a 20-point fantasy game, roughly. I didn't look at the exact numbers, but that's a 20-point fantasy game, 20-plus points for Carlos Hyde. There are so many games that standard scoring and especially PPR with running backs like Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Chris Thompson in week two catching so many balls out of the backfield. Look, I preach against PPR. I think it's outlived its usefulness. I think the Nelson Aguilar line, as I've done in a previous podcast, proved it doesn't fit. It doesn't translate properly in fantasy football terms. It's skewed. It should be phased out. I can't do that by myself. You guys have to do it on your own. I can only manage my own leagues and make my own recommendations in the podcast leagues. But it's still there. But even in standard scoring, some of the numbers being put up by Patrick Mahomes, by Ryan Fitzpatrick, by DeSean Jackson, by Travis Kelce, by Tyreek Hill, by James Conner. There's another PPR guy. He's actually getting more. He's getting more targets than Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara through 2 weeks. So it's having those explosive guys. For example, in the podcast league that I organized, I'm near the bottom of the league. Do I like my team? It's fine. The problem is I haven't had explosive games from DeAndre Hopkins. Leonard Fournette's been injured, one of those sort of first four guys that many of you drafted in the first round who's done nothing for you, or relatively nothing. The others being David Johnson, obviously Le'Veon Bell, and you got kind of one game out of Ezekiel Elliott. Kind of a touchdown-dependent type game from Ezekiel Elliott. So it's having the explosive guys. Now, there will be, fantasy term, touchdown regression. These explosive players can't keep doing this. All right, we're through 2 weeks. Over the next 14 through your championship week, and if you're playing your championship week in week 17, why am I even talking to you? Stop. So through the next 14 weeks, they can't keep doing this. You can't expect them to keep doing this. But you're either on one side or you're not. For example, in the Foundation League I commission, I'm 2-0. I've had tons of explosive games. An opponent of mine literally waved the white flag in our two quarterback league when I approached 130 this week, and we're not PPR. He was like, enough is enough, with the big game Thielen put up and Cousins put up. So it's been a matter of having those explosive players. So for those of you that don't have those or haven't had those players go off, sure, take another look at your team. Look, you can't redraft. You're not going to cut everybody. Don't make any desperate trades. You probably tried to tweak on waivers, and you might make some matchup changes this week. But it might be just your players haven't gone off the way some other players have gone off. I also said to Gil, look, I don't think and I drafted Kirk Cousins to be a QB1. I didn't expect this. Some of you draft Phillip Rivers to be your QB1. It's sort of the zero quarterback theory. You wait, you get your running backs, your wide receivers, maybe get a good tight end, like, boom, I'll take Phillip Rivers. Maybe in another year, boom, I'll take Matt Stafford. Boom, I'll take Ben Roethlisberger, kind of that same group. Well, obviously, Rivers has been putting up Tecmo Bowl numbers. Nobody's putting up numbers like Fitzmagic for however long that's going to last, and Patrick Mahomes for however long that's going to last. So having the explosive players, that's been the difference winning or losing in the first 2 weeks in most head-to-head fantasy leagues. Either you've had guys who've gone off, or you've been victimized because you don't have them and your opponent did. All right. That said, let's talk about before we get to the week three matchups. And again, if you missed my fantasy breakdown on Steelers and Bucks, just go back and listen to the Bucks Bulletin edition of the podcast presented by Brandon Legal Group. It was the podcast that preceded this one. It is there. It will give you a full breakdown on the fantasy perspective of Bucks and Steelers for the Monday night game. From the Thursday night game, and I'll admit, I was kind of in and out of this. Huge fan of Big Brother. I have Casey to win it all. Let's go. She won the veto. She voted out Angela. I don't know if that was the right move, but I watched some football and a lot of Big Brother. So go ahead and take your shots at me. Big Brother ends next Wednesday. We won't have this problem again. So I know what happened. Obviously, we talked about the Carlos Hyde numbers. I know about the off Sam Darnold numbers, although it's clear Anunua is his favorite target. Robbie Anderson just may not fit that offense. For those of you that kind of threw a dart at him late in your season-long draft, that might be an expendable guy at this point that you can dump to pick somebody else up, even if you believe in Darnold. Anderson might not fit the offense. From a Baker Mayfield standpoint, absolutely. I mean, I thought of drafting him as my third QB. Roster limit was three in our foundation league, which requires you to play two quarterbacks. If you want to pick up Baker Mayfield in your one quarterback league and just put him on your bench, I don't blame you at this point, based on what we saw last night and the fact that he runs a very fast offense. And so I do think he's worth rostering at this point. And Hugh Jackson just needs to grow a pair and actually be the head coach of this team and own the fact that an obvious decision needs to be made. I mean, Hugh Jackson not naming him the starter and kind of saying, well, we'll have a Monday meeting and we'll address the starter situation. You know what the equivalent of that is if in a week Dirk Cutter said, yeah, I'm not willing to name my starting quarterback for the Bears game. Are you like watching a different game than the rest of us? So some of the coaches like that just kind of need to grow a pair and act like the freaking head coach and make the decision that we all know they need to make. Otherwise, Otherwise, go back to being offensive coordinators where you don't get asked these questions. And just make your money and coordinate the offense, and you don't have to deal with the rest of the stuff. Because you clearly can't handle it. All right, so let's go through the Sunday games. Funny, the first game that comes up, we always go in order of the clock. Bills and Vikings. You don't play any Bills right now. You just don't. Most interesting thing I saw about the Bills was how Josh Allen, how long he's holding the ball on his dropbacks and how long it is. You know, Josh Allen talked about in preseason about how he got walloped and, wow, welcome to the NFL. Well, that's what happens when you hang on to the ball for 3.5 seconds. Russell Wilson has been finding that out too. So no Bills are in play in this game. From the Vikings standpoint, there's concern about Dalvin Cook. I think Latavius Murray has been worth owning all year until we see Dalvin Cook play a lot and we see Dalvin Cook stay on the field for goal line situations and other critical situations. So I do think Latavius Murray is worth owning right now. I don't know if you play him this week, although there is the thought the Vikings could get up so much against the Bills. Rather than risk Cook, go ahead and put Latavius Murray in there. And shorten the game and just let him run and then let Kirk Cousins make some throws to Kyle Rudolph and Troy Williamson and Adam Thielen on third and six routes for 7 yards. And that's it. Thanks for playing, Buffalo. We appreciate you coming, and let's move on to next week. So there is some concern that if you have a star player with the Vikings like Diggs or Thielen or Cousins, maybe the Vikings get up so far that you don't get a lot out of them late. I've never really subscribed to that theory in the NFL. I think it applies more than in college football. Just play him. I think the only concern is Cook, based on the injury, since he said one thing, team kind of said the other. And if you're really desperate for a running back or a bargain DFS play, Latavius Murray might be worth the flyer. Giants and Texans. For as bad as the Texans are at 0-2, Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins, who appeared on the injury report and then came off the injury report, fine. Lamar Miller's volume, fine. Texans just defensively aren't doing the job. And Deshaun Watson doesn't seem to be doing, quote, his thing through two games. Are we led to believe he is different now off another knee injury? I'm not willing to believe that yet, but let's keep watching it. If he looks different in 4 more weeks, if he looks like this, then we're thinking, yeah, maybe the knee injuries have caught up to him because he had them in college as well. But clearly, Hopkins and Will Fuller and Lamar Miller as an RB2 or flex play in play in this game. From a Giants standpoint, not much going on here other than Saquon Barkley's volume. The fact that Eli Manning threw almost 50% of his passes to Saquon Barkley, completed, I think, over 50% of his passes to Saquon Barkley, even though Barkley could do very little with it. Big PPR points there for Barkley. Odell Beckham, at this point, Giants passing offense just doesn't look like much. But Texans defense hasn't looked good either. So I'm not excited about a lot of things in that game. I don't know that other than Barkley, Hopkins, Fuller, those are clearly the three best plays, and I don't see a problem with playing Fuller. And obviously, you're still playing Odell Beckham. Packers and Redskins, we hear the knee is getting worse with Rodgers, but off last week's game, this is a week-to-week thing with Aaron Rodgers, so it's a ripple effect to Devontae Adams. You just got to check the status right through the inactives at 11:30. If the Packers aren't going to play Aaron Rodgers, they're going to declare him inactive by 11:30 on an hour and a half before the game. At that point, you probably sit Devontae Adams. The keynote for Green Bay this week is Aaron Jones comes back. Jamal Williams has been average at best. splitting some reps with Ty Montgomery in the backfield for Green Bay. Aaron Jones is an explosive back who just he hasn't been able to stay on the field, and he's missed some pass blocks, which there's some concern. Well, why would you play Aaron Jones if you're trying to protect Aaron Rodgers? It's a legitimate complaint. But Aaron Jones is worth watching. I think he might be a pretty good DFS type play this week because of the price and just on the chance that he does something. I would imagine he was drafted in your season-long league. If he wasn't and he's still sitting there on waivers, anytime you can potentially get a starting running back who has shown the ability to make to put up numbers, you get him. So if he's sitting there on waivers, I'd take him right now, even if you don't play him this week. From the Redskins' standpoint, not a lot to get excited about. Alex Smith. Alex Smith will still put up some numbers. Jordan Reed is amazingly healthy going into week three. Adrian Peterson bottom out. Chris Thompson is a quality PPR play and kind of a desperate running back or flex play if you're in a standard league. 49ers and Chiefs. Jimmy Garoppolo looked a little tentative last week as the Niners had a big lead against the Lions. Matt Breida looked better in that game for San Francisco. I'm not going to go overboard on Breida, but the Chiefs' defense doesn't seem to offer much resistance. Even in a win, they were torched by Gordon, and I think even Eckler in the first game a little bit. Eckler's actually had respectable numbers for the time that he's been in there. So from the 49ers standpoint, keep an eye on Goodwin. He may play this week. He's always had a good rapport. I think Jimmy Garoppolo would be more comfortable with Goodwin on the field. That might be a conclusion we can draw. Kittle had a down game, so maybe Goodwin being out there would be good. Pettis flopped in week two, so Breida raised them back up. From the Chiefs' standpoint, is it a Tyreek game or is it a Kelce game? I'm tempted to believe this is a Tyreek game. I just don't think the Niners have the defensive speed to keep up with Hill. So I would say more of a Tyreek game than a Kelce game. I'm certainly not sitting Kelce in this game. And one, I guess if you're a Hunt owner, you're a little concerned that Hunt isn't as involved in the passing game through two games as he was last year with Alex Smith. Mahomes seems to want to throw it down the field rather than just check down and throw to a running back. Let's see. All right. Raiders, Dolphins. There's nothing that fantasy exciting about the Dolphins. But again, I think Adam Gase is a very underappreciated head coach. The Dolphins will likely make the mistake of firing this guy and probably replacing him with Jim Harbaugh at some point in the future. And Gase will be better off not being with a dysfunctional organization like the Miami Dolphins and do better in his next stop. So there's nothing exciting about Tannehill. Kenyon Drake, I saw in Patrick Doherty's ratings on RotoWorld, fringe top 10-ish back. So I guess he's on the fringe of RB1, RB2. Frank Gore is still going to get some of the he's going to get 8 to 10 touches. Kenyon Drake is very capable. It just seems like Adam Gase always says he wants to keep his – him on a bit of a pitch count. So from a fantasy standpoint, I don't like how Adam Gase does that, but I'd love to hire Adam Gase if I was running an NFL team and he could be my head coach. Kenny Stills is someone that I like as a wide receiver in situations where if I don't have two star wide receivers or I can play a wide receiver three or a flex, Kenny Stills is always in play for me. From the Raiders standpoint, really good games last week out of Carr and a better game, better game for Carr, obviously. Still a good game for Cook, and the Raiders still blew it to the Broncos. So Lynch seems to be best early in games. He's kind of a RB2/3 or flex play. I'm still not buying Amari Cooper, but Carr's bounce back was encouraging for Carr owners. I don't imagine many of you drafted him as your QB1. Again, Cook is putting up numbers as a tight end. Not Will Disley numbers, but he's putting up numbers. Yeah, Will Disley. Yeah, I never mentioned him on a preseason podcast. I'll admit that. Colts and Eagles. This is a tricky spot for the Eagles. They get Wentz back, and I don't know, it just doesn't feel like nothing against Carson Wentz. You know, the Eagles haven't really looked good since they won the Super Bowl. Not the entire preseason, not in beating Atlanta in the first game until they ran the Philly play. They seemed pretty dead and didn't look good against the Bucs last week. So I kind of side to the Colts in this game. Eagles are totally banged up at running back. You're not playing Ajayi. If you picked up Corey Clement, good luck. I mean, he's hurt too. He'll be out there. How long? How much will they use him? If not, they're down to Smallwood. So what does that leave Wentz? He still doesn't seem to have the full complement. You are getting back a quality quarterback like Carson Wentz, but is that enough? And the Colts defensively have actually looked pretty decent for what it's worth. They got some good young players at a lot of positions on that defense. T.Y. Hilton is definitely a play. Andrew Luck is an play, kind of a QB2, probably not your QB1. No running back is in play for the Colts. Eric Ebron doing some good things at the tight end position if you're in a must-play tight end situation. Titans and Jaguars. Titans, I think at this point, the only guy you're definitely playing is Deion Lewis, and you're playing him as an RB2 or a flex. Corey Davis, healthy through 2 weeks and has gotten a lot of targets, but are we really getting excited about Blaine Gabbert throwing to him or Marcus Mariota, who can't feel his hand throwing the ball? So not a lot going in Tennessee other than Lewis and just Corey Davis staying healthy. Jaguars had to alter the game plan last week, pulled it off very well with the game plan. Keelan Cole, DeeDee Westbrook. The feeling is Fournette plays in this game, and if he plays, he should produce. In this game, you know, I think about the Titans run defense the first couple of weeks, and it doesn't look like it's picked up where it left off last year with a change in coaching staff. But if they sat Fournette basically for a game and a half to not aggravate what was considered a minor hamstring injury, the expectation is he goes, and if he goes and he's good, you're going to regret sitting him in that game. From the Jaguars wide receiver standpoint, it's tough. I think Cole is really the only guy worth considering as a starter until we see more of DeeDee Westbrook making big plays, and he made one last week. Bengals and Panthers. AJ Green, 3 touchdowns in 17 minutes. Not a lot after that, but you can't complain. There's another explosive game. No Joe Mixon. Gio Bernard will get plenty of volume. I don't know if it translates to a good game or not. So if you're plugging and playing Gio Bernard, yeah, the volume should be there. But what else? I mean, Carolina's defense is capable. They didn't have a particularly good week last week against the Falcons. They gave Ezekiel Elliott no room to run on the one-dimensional Cowboys the week before. Tyler Boyd is getting targets. If you're desperate for a tight end or looking for a bargain DFS play, Tyler Boyd seems in play. He's everything John Ross isn't, including fast, but everything else about Boyd is better than Ross. Panther standpoint, absolutely with Cam. Could be another big possession game for Christian McCaffrey, who's getting as many targets from Cam as Saquon Barkley is getting from Eli Manning. Devin Funchess and McCaffrey are more significant when Greg Olsen was out last year, and he's out again this year, and C.J. Anderson is no factor. Broncos and Ravens. From Denver standpoint, it looks like Lindsey and Freeman. I'm playing Lindsey this week. If I own Freeman, I wouldn't play him. Lindsey's had a good couple of weeks putting up yardage and getting a roughly 40% share of the offensive snaps. If you invested heavily a draft pick in Royce Freeman, I don't know how you're feeling right now. Wide receiver wise, Emmanuel Sanders, I think he is a wide receiver two. At worst, he's a wide receiver 2/3 flex in this game. Demaryius Thomas, I don't know. You might be able to do better. He had 3 drops last week. I think Sanders is the better play than Thomas. They're often linked together from the Ravens standpoint. 3rd week for John Brown. Maybe he can keep it going. This is what he never did in Arizona. I'm not big on the Ravens running backs. Many of you drafted Collins to be your RB2/3. He just pops up on injury reports. And Michael Crabtree has disappointed you to this point. Many of you saying, you know, John Brown's getting the looks that we thought Michael Crabtree would get. The Ravens just don't excite me from a fantasy standpoint. If you're basing your fantasy wins on guys from the Baltimore Ravens, more often than not, I think you're going to lose. Saints and Falcons, there's a lot here. the obvious, speaking of guys with explosive games, Breeze, Thomas, Kamara, okay? Ted Ginn is in consideration if you're desperate for a wide receiver play or looking for one on waivers or a DFS bargain. Atlanta, Tevin Coleman, very good game with Freeman out last week, Freeman out again. So if you own Coleman, yeah, I try to get him in your lineup. Now, would I sit a top 5 or 6 running back for Coleman? Probably not. So you got to be careful with that. I might sit David Johnson to play Tevin Coleman this week. I might. And if you're really, really worried, come 11:30 a.m. on Sunday about Leonard Fournette's hamstring, I might play Tevin Coleman instead of Leonard Fournette. But don't sit a big time back for Coleman yet. It's too early in the season. But if you can give me a reason to sit a more prominent back, knowing Coleman's going to get a lot of volume in a high scoring game and just put up good numbers last week and generally does when Freeman's out, then yeah, play Coleman. But like, you're not sitting Todd Gurley for Tevin Coleman, or you're not sitting James Conner for Tevin Coleman, or Alvin Kamara. You're not doing that, or Melvin Gordon. So, Falcons standpoint, still playing Julio Jones, and Matt Ryan had a really good game last week. Probably one of the best games Matt Ryan has had in quite some time. Translated to fantasy points also because he got a rushing touchdown. Very efficient. Chargers and Rams. Phillip Rivers should be throwing a lot in this game, so Gordon will be on the receiving end of that. Eckler will probably still get some volume. Keenan Allen. I'm keeping an eye on Mike Williams. Remember, he was a number one pick, so at some point he's got to get more involved here. He seems like he is getting more involved. I just don't know that the Chargers can keep up with the Rams, who have won so easy the first 2 weeks. They're just really good and they're loaded. Now, if they pull a Mike Tomlin and sleepwalk through a game, then maybe the Chargers catch them. It's not a long road trip. Gurley is in play. Brandon Cooks has had a good start. There are targets for Brandon Cooks. I had concerns about that coming into the season through 2 games. Looks like he'll get his share and looks like he'll get his yardage if he can catch those balls. It doesn't seem like it's negatively impacted Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp. Bears and Cardinals. Trubisky's been bad, even though the Bears are 1-1 and very close to being 2-0. I just firmly believe Trubisky is not an NFL quarterback, and the Bears totally whiffed on making that move. Nagy talks about getting Jordan Howard more touches because that would mean Trubisky, the ball's not in Trubisky's hands. So that makes a lot of sense to me. Allen Robinson has been getting a lot of targets, so I guess Trubisky likes him more than throwing to Anthony Miller. And because Robinson is running a lot of his routes in the middle of the field, that means that Trey Burton and Tariq Cohen are not as big of factors as some thought. From the Cardinals standpoint, there's just not a lot to like here until Josh Rosen gets in the game. Now, I'm not saying Josh Rosen's going to do what Baker Mayfield did, but Sam Bradford running this team ain't working. And David Johnson's usage with this new coaching staff is starting to not make any sense. Cowboys and Seahawks, two offenses to me that look damn near identical. The only difference is Dak Prescott has a big time back behind him and Russell Wilson does not. There's not a lot to like in the passing game here. I may play Will Disley as a DFS bargain at the tight end position just to see if he can do it 3 weeks in a go, 3 weeks in a row. But if Will Disley is putting up numbers like this, how bad does that look for every other person who's supposed to catch a ball for the Seattle Seahawks if that's what Russell Wilson is going to? And Russell Wilson's play has been impacted. I know that Patrick Daugherty on Roto-World said he always thought Russell Wilson was matchup-proof, and he's starting to wonder if that's the case. With Dallas, keep an eye on Bryce Butler. I've always liked Bryce Butler. There's no reason why Bryce Butler shouldn't make an impact now with the Cowboys that Dez Bryant is no longer there. We'll see. Patriots and Lions on Sunday night. I think the Patriots, from a fantasy standpoint, are even tougher to figure out right now than they've been in previous years. The whole mystery of why Rex Burkhead disappeared for two quarters last week in the Jacksonville game, I guess what it says is that, well, the Patriots were behind, and for the play calls necessary, Burkhead wasn't a factor. Well, I thought Burkhead was the kind of guy who could catch the ball out of the backfield and Brady liked throwing to him. So I don't really get it. I'm not going to play Burkhead this week. He is rostered in my league. I'm kind of evaluating how long I want to hang on to him at this point. He is a piece of the New England Patriot offense, so there's value there. Josh Gordon is officially questionable in the injury report. You know Josh is going to play. And how Josh impacts, say, Chris Hogan, you're not sitting Gronk. I don't think it negatively impacts Hogan. I think they run different routes. I think they're different type players. So I think there's room on the field for both Gordon and Hogan for as long as Gordon can actually play by the rules in New England. And from a Lions standpoint, better game last week for Matt Stafford. I think Marvin Jones Jr. just showed up on the injury report. Galladay looks like he's worth rostering. Maybe getting involved as a flex play some weeks. I don't think he's a go-to flex play for you this early in the season. I think that's it's too early to say that. And there's no Lion running back that you're considering. So there you go. That takes you through all the Sunday games. If you have any more specific questions on players, and remember, one rule, don't ask me to pick your starting lineup. Don't say, I have these three guys I need to start too. I have these four guys I need to start too. I have these two guys pick A or B. I don't do that. Ask me about a player. Give me your opinion on the player, and then say, what do you think? Then in the next breath, you can say, I also have this player, and I feel this way about the player. What do you think? It's a more intelligent conversation. I'd rather have that with you. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com, Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. All right. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Good luck in week 3, and we'll talk to you on Monday.